I'm fairly confident that most of you have some sort of Christmas tradition that your family always does and has always done. For us, growing up, we always had our Christmas program at Kirkley Chapel on Christmas Eve, and they still do that. They still have their program on Christmas Eve. And then when we got back home, that certain guy that just makes his appearance once a year had already been to our house because he's got a lot of places to go tomorrow. So Christmas Eve to me was always Christmas. I don't ever remember getting up as a child and opening presents because we'd already done that the night before. I did a little research on other countries and their traditions. My particular ancestry is German and British and Slovakian. That's where I can trace my roots to. And all that I know about the British for sure is that they are the ones who are responsible for the 12 days of Christmas and for figgy pudding. That's all I need to tell you about the British, all right? The Germans are responsible for the Christmas tree. You know, we used to sing O Tannenbaum, that's German. And I read this, that the typical German Christmas meal is either carp or goose and fruitcake. The Slovakians have their Christmas meal with 12 separate dishes, one to represent each disciple, and I would just recommend that you stay away from the one that represents Judas. But the main dish that they have in Slovakia, I should say, is this big unpronounceable name, but it's a thick soup made of fish and cabbage and sausage. Aren't you glad you're American? I am. I just praise God that he put us here at this time and in this place. When I was a kid, we had an aunt that had all these this reaction to every gift that she ever got. And I won't do it for you here because I'm mic'd up and it would hurt your ears. But every time she opened anything, it was, ooh, and just, you know, just so excited to get an ugly Christmas sweater or, you know, whatever else it was that somebody had happened to give her. And it was very sweet of her to always be so positive. But on the other hand, it made us just a little bit suspicious of her sincerity sometimes. In fact, some people tested her sincerity, you know, would give her something really awful just to see if she did react. Most of you have probably had the experience of having had to muster up the right face when you opened a gift. Oh, that's nice. You know, a gift that was either of questionable taste or value or just downright weird. Last week, we were told, or we read about and studied about, the shepherds being told to look for the babe in the manger, which may or may not have been in a stable or a cave. We heard about the angels singing peace on earth, which was kind of the focus last week, and giving glory to God. Well, we're going to pick up there today as we look into Luke chapter 2, verses 15 through 20. And so I'm going to ask if you would and are able to please stand in the honor of the reading of God's word. Luke chapter 2, verses 15 through 20. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them, the shepherds, into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. First of all, in this passage, as soon as the angels had gone away into heaven, the shepherds determined that they should go into town and check out what it was that the angels had told them about. And I think we read that a lot. Like last night, we went to a Christmas Eve service at another church, and they read this passage at least twice and made reference to it several other times. But we read this all the time, and I don't think we really reflect on what it's saying. I want you to think about this. The shepherds left their flocks. I think it's hard to overemphasize the significance of the fact that they left their flocks to go to town at night for anything. You know, we're not sure if these shepherds were the owners of the sheep or if they were hirelings who had been hired to watch the sheep. But either way, it's a big deal to walk off your job. Each of you, in the jobs that you either now have or once had or will have someday, can you imagine just taking off as a teacher, taking off and leaving the students unsupervised? Or, you know, I also grew up milking cows. Can you imagine just leaving the milkers on the cows and going to the town for a couple of days? You can't do that. Or, you know, running the shop or the office, anything like that, leaving it unattended. We just can't do that. So if these guys were hired, they risk losing their jobs. If they were the owners, they risk losing their investments. And all of this just to do what? To go and see Jesus. It makes the risks that we take on a given morning to go see Jesus seem pretty insignificant. And I said this morning as we were preparing to come and when we got here, I didn't know if we'd have 15 people or who knows how many, and we've got a wonderful crowd and glad to have you all here. But the two of the things that normally keep people away from church are the weather and sometimes the holidays and the family gatherings, and people a lot of times won't do that. So you've taken a great effort to be here today too, and I appreciate that. But anyway, in verse 16 it says, they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And I've often wondered about how, did they have to hunt for them? Did they have to go knocking on doors to say, is there a newborn baby here laying in a manger? That type of thing. But I want you to remember from last week that the angels came. God sent the angels to present the message of the birth of Christ to these people specifically. And if he presented that message to them, he's going to help them find him. And I believe they just walked right up to the place. And they found Jesus lying in a manger. Now, Mary and Joseph already knew because God had told them about the significance of the birth of their baby son, the Savior. But now they had confirmation that God was revealing this to other people as well, to shepherds who were keeping their flocks by night. Many of you probably have already spent part of this morning opening gifts of all kinds, and many of you may still have others to do. And like my aunt, maybe some of you had to put in an Academy Award-winning performance, but most of us are genuinely appreciative of the gifts that we get. We give gifts because we love. That's the primary reason that we give things to people, because we love them. And I know that most of you know this. The greatest gift of all time was the gift of Jesus Christ to all humanity. God gave us this gift because he loves us. And I don't think that can be stressed enough either, that God loves you. And I know that there are times in your life when it just feels like there is no God, or he doesn't love me or whatever, but he loves you and he wants to give you good things. Each gift that we give is a tiny little reflection of the love that God has for us when we love other people through their gift giving. So in the time that we have together today, I want to look at the different ways that those who were there that night reacted to the gift that God had given them. Okay? Verse 17. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. They came in, they saw the child, and when they left, they told people about it. They told people about the gift that God had sent. They told people about the miracle of the birth of the baby Jesus. Now, almost every day on social media, you see people proclaiming good news of some kind. It's a 50th anniversary, or we've got a new home, or I've lost weight, or I've worked out, or I prepared a meal. All these different things that we try to share with people. And if I didn't know this before social media, I know it now. People really want other people to know their business. They really do. I mean, we can go around saying, it's my business. You don't need to have your nose stuck in my business. Well, then stop sticking your business in my nose, you know? It's just one of those things. We proclaim to everybody almost everything. It's just incredible. And we can protest that our business is nobody else's, but the evidence shows otherwise. When we've got something good to tell about, or even sometimes something bad, we tell it. until it comes to Jesus. And again, I've seen a lot of posts about Jesus, and he's the reason for the season, and he's the best gift of all time, and that kind of thing. But generally, we try to keep Jesus to ourselves. We hog the gift that we've been given. These shepherds, these common everyday men who had no real standing in the community, they made it widely known what they'd been told about this child. Now, in the last 2 weeks, we've talked a little bit about what they've been told, and what they've been told is that this was the Savior, the Christ, the long-awaited Messiah. And they told that. He didn't come as a knight on a white horse. He came as a baby, wrapped up not in armor, but in strips of cloth. The gift of Jesus was absolutely nothing like what most people would have expected. It's like the little child who's expecting Legos or Pokemon something or that kind of thing, and they open up socks and underwear, you know. And that's not what they were expecting. They didn't want that. Well, what they got, though, is something probably that they needed much more. And that's the truth about Jesus Christ and the gift that God gave us. No matter what it was we wanted, Jesus is what we needed. Now, the shepherds knew. They discovered this. And they told everyone they met what they knew. Church, visitors, friends, we are called to do nothing less today, to tell others what we know about Jesus. Okay, that's one reaction. They went out and made it widely known. The next reaction is in verse 18. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And again, that's a line we read, and we may not think much about it. But these, again, were shepherds. They were common, ordinary, in fact, probably less than ordinary people. And they were telling others about Jesus, and everyone, it says, all those who heard it marveled. So the second reaction here is marvel, wonder, awe, utter amazement. Now, I know we read this nearly every Christmas, and maybe so often that our marvel button maybe got muted or pushed off somehow or another. The marvelous news that the shepherds were proclaiming is still marvelous today. It is no less in something that we should be in awe of. We should be in utter amazement at what God did for us that first Christmas. Well, during the next 30 years, from the time Jesus was born until he began his ministry, a lot of those people who were marveling at the news, they lost their marvel button too. They no longer marveled. In fact, instead, they criticized. They'd heard and had studied about the coming of the Messiah most of their lives, but as they looked around them, not much had changed in that 30 years since he'd been born. Well, until our hearts change, we're not going to see much change either. And I know we've done this ever since I've been alive. Oh, it's bad today. It's the worst it's ever been. Something's got to change. And then we go right back to our regular routine. The something, folks, that's got to change is right here. It's your own heart. We can't change the world until we start in our own hearts. And that was true back then just as well. Verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. You see, the way to maintain your joy, the way to maintain amazement and awe at something that we hear every year and we see every day, is to ponder them, to keep them in your heart, to study them, to pray about them. You know that Mary prayed probably every day, many times a day, for her newborn son, all the way up through the time that he was crucified. She had a lot of years to raise this baby Jesus, and no doubt she would be pondering the many things that were going to happen in the years to come. And when those difficult, and by the way, Mary, did you know? I think she knew. I think we're told in Scripture that she knew that things would happen. But anyway, when those times came, when Jesus was being mocked and scorned, and I want you to understand that began not when he was out among the Pharisees. It began at the lunch table because his own brothers and sisters mocked and scorned him and turned him away. So all of those times, Mary would ponder in her heart what the Lord had revealed to her about the baby Jesus. The lesson for us to remember here is that pondering on what the Lord has revealed to us in the past will sustain us through the present and prepare us for the future. I asked Shelley to read earlier to you from James chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. But verse 17 says this: "Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation of shadow or shadow of turning." And what this is telling me is that every good thing that you and I have, every child, every gift, every talent, every good thing that we have is from the Lord. Praise God for children. Every good and perfect gift came from above. And the most perfect, the most wonderful gift of all, again, was Jesus. So though our closeness to God may vary as we go through our lives, his good and his perfect gift never changes. Now, there may be shadows, there may be clouds, there may be all kinds of things that seem like he's turning away from us. But in reality, there's no variation. There's no difference in the way that he feels about you. He loves you. So ponder that when the hard times come. And then finally, verse 20. "Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." Now, I know there were a lot of other reactions to the gift of Jesus Christ. King Herod had a much different reaction. King Herod's reaction was fear. He felt threatened, and he decided to do something about it. He was going to kill every child of that age in that area because he wanted to get the king that had been born. The Pharisees had a different reaction. They would try to prove that he was not the king that he claimed to be. And then others would look at the gift of Jesus as some kind of a magical genie to grant my wishes and all those kinds of things. So lots of different reactions to the gift of Jesus Christ. But once again, the shepherds praised God. That was their reaction. We don't know what happened to these shepherds between that day and the day of the crucifixion. But I like to think that from that day forward, they gave praise and honor and glory to God always, because they had seen the Christ child. In just a few moments, we're going to dismiss, and you're going to return to your homes. And my prayer for myself and for you is that we will return glorifying and praising God for all that we've seen and heard. Not anything that you've seen or heard here, but what you've seen and heard through God's grace, what he's revealed to us. I pray that we will ponder these things and keep them in our hearts. I pray this, church, that we will make it widely known what it is that God has done for us. And that finally, we will fully and completely accept and acknowledge that the gift we've been given this day is the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I pray, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, my goodness, what more wonderful time to accept him than on the day that we commemorate his birth. I know that because we've abbreviated the service a little bit, there are going to be some who will be thinking, well, why don't they do that every week? We could get out here way quicker. Well, we probably won't. But the thing of it is, it doesn't matter how long the message is. It doesn't matter how many songs we sing. What matters is what we do about Jesus in our hearts. And I pray that today, if you've never accepted him, what a gift. What an incredible gift he's given you to open on this day. And if you do know him, I just pray that you look at the reactions that we've seen here today and that we would make him widely known to everyone that we meet. Let's pray. Father, once again, I just thank you for the incredible, marvelous gift of your son. I thank you that you sent him to die for our sins so that we might have the hope of eternal life. And Lord, I know that there are people around us who are mourning and in sorrow because they've lost a loved one. But one of the things, Lord, that I've seen over the years is that just the knowledge that their loved one was a saved person, somebody who knew Jesus, just brings so much comfort because we know, we believe that we will see them again. Lord, I pray for each one that's here today that they would recognize that, that if there's anybody here who's never accepted you as Lord and Savior, that truly this would be the day, that this would be the day that they would contemplate and ponder in their own hearts. I have the opportunity, I have the gift, the free gift of being able to spend eternity with my loved ones and with Jesus Christ. Lord, I accept that gift. And I pray that if there's even one here today that needs to do that, this is the day. Thank you for your incredible gift, Father, and I just praise your name for all these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.